practical non-theory of interest to women. Dedicated to all daughters and sons, granddaughters and grandsons, and especially their lineage. The non-theoretical approach is used to allow one to step back from a problem and strip it to its simplest form. Primarily, the main problems that this addresses are war, in general, and pollution in particular, and was derived from an unbiased view of women in this society. This may be a shock to people in a universal sense, but particularly to men, that have previously thought of themselves as dominant in a half-woman, half-man world. Sociological predisposition in our system is examined by the process of non-alignment to previous norms, coupled with a non-theological view. These are standards of INTS and must be followed if there is to be progress on practical issues. Beyond that, we do press for real solutions. We'll name names and identify their part. There is an imperative need to find out how and why we are damaging our atmosphere and creating pollution and change at an alarming rate. Perhaps the impetus for this article came from an airing of the Emmys, on television. Just recently, when Sally Field, being honored for her role as Nora Walker in Brothers and Sisters, appropriately enough, blurted out at the end of her acceptance speech in a very typical fashion for her, "There would be no more goddamn wars if women were in charge." And she might be right. If you heard this, you probably applaud her temerity and sentiment, and you perhaps got a tinge of chaotic thought from her unintended penchant to voice a sacrilegious epithet. The emotion was so strong, and the thought so pure, that surely if there was a God, he too would accept this idea. Goddamn wars. No doubt they are. Unfortunately, this opens a whole can of worms if you look at it from an unbiased standpoint. How, for example, did this God figure become a man in the first place? If you understand Christianity, you may well ask yourself why a God would choose one sex to represent, why he would choose a single sect and race to be represented by a son and not a woman, and why he would allow scriptures to describe half of the human race as helpmates for the other half, created of a rib from the first man. Looking at it in this way makes man look a bit desperate to establish his authority over women, since these things are all created by his writings on religion and not in any way by any God figure. If you were to look to a deity for the human race, for guidance, it would be applied to the feminine as well as the masculine, and very concerned about our well-being in terms of earthly stewardship, and not in the least warlike, which may be an entirely male attribute. For a man raised by a strong woman, and respecting her ability to keep things organized and quite proper, it isn't hard to realize that men in general do not have this ability, nor even seem to desire it. Men seem only to have the ability to fight for what they believe in, not discuss it in a rational manner. Think about what this means in terms of international relations. If a woman were in power, or rather as many women as men, at the very least, then perhaps these two great abilities could be put to the test, and perhaps they could eradicate both conflict through communication and the very untidiness of pollution. The times are quite correct for this adjustment. Women have a vote in most places and are presently influencing others to adopt this basic equality. It is necessary that women universally and unabashedly foster other women to political power by using their vote to support female candidates, or at least males that are aware and back this feminist position. Supporting the right man at this juncture could mean that he will overcome the bias of his party towards a proper coalition in government regarding the sexes, and consequently set circumstances to allow his leadership to be taken by a woman. As women succeed in wresting power from the man, they will have to let the feminist attitude wane in favor of the greater good of all, including the lowly male. The Canadian Green Party has a female leader in Elizabeth May. Much opportunity for women in all constituencies, and a chance to lead the world to a greener future. It must be noted at this point that INTS seems to be pushing a bias, or perhaps several, and even touting a political party, decidedly non-theoretical. But the practical side of non-theory is always seeking solutions and performing its activist role to the fullest. We will applaud that which we see as being a general benefit to society, otherwise we would just be an ineffectual force of discussion. The writer of this is a man, and who better can voice that any household runs smoother and tidier with a woman involved? Who better can admit that males have insisted on power over women, yet are botching the system with atrocities and defiling the planet? This solution is being applied slowly, but needs to be developed more rapidly. And again, the time is quite appropriate. Classical theology is slipping away, and religious bias against the woman as leader is losing its impetus. We have a very well-developed communication system with no single country or perspective controlling its transmissions in the World Wide Web. Women naturally gravitate toward support for other women in power when they see that it will affect them personally. The greening of the earth, or rather return to its natural greenness, requires some staggering complexities. All products of the future will have to be inspected prior to their production. The benefits weighed against the inconvenience caused by their pollution and the results enforced by boycott of those things that constitute a threat. Who better to accomplish this task than one who communicates well, is in charge of daily purchases, and nurtures as a natural attribute? Need it be said that this is woman? We need her now. And we men must be willing to step aside and give the opportunity over to those that have not had it before, yet deserve it. The nurturing hand does not hold the sword. Namron Sore.